As we do, let's read together John 3:16. And as you're getting there, I'll start reading. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now, some thoughts today on this particular topic. Just some things that I wrote down here. Great gifts require great responsibility. Great gifts require great responsibility. Great gifts will cause great tests. Great gifts require great faith or great faithfulness. Can't be faithful without faith. You can't be faithful without faith. Whatever fills your heart will control you. Whatever fills your heart will control you. If you're filled with faith, it will control you. You will be controlled with faithfulness. You can be controlled with faithfulness. Now, let's turn over to James chapter 1. This is a scripture, or some scriptures that we've been using. James chapter 1, we're going to read verses 2, 3, and 4. James chapter 1, starting with verse 2. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers or various temptations, trials, tests." When you spend some time, if you just meditate on this particular scripture verse, how can you count it all joy when you fall into something? Doesn't really make sense, does it? But you can if you know something. What does verse 3 say? Knowing this. See, if you don't know something or know this, then you're at a disadvantage, aren't you? But you're at an advantage. You know something. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. See. Now, the other thing is, we were talking about this the other day. I was noticing this. I took the time to look it up. But if you fall into something, just think about it, you fall into a hole. Are you encompassed about? Are you hedged in? Yeah. See, that's what that really means. When you fall into divers of various temptations, the Weymouth translation says you're hedged about. That's what it says. Whenever you find yourselves hedged in by various trials. Anybody ever feel like they're hedged in? They're just stuck. You know what I mean? They're stuck in life, stuck in something. What are we supposed to do? Count it all joy, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh something. It works patience. Now, what does the rest of the verse say in the King James? It says, "But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be what? Perfect, entire, wanting nothing." Boy, we like that, don't we? I want to be perfect, entire, wanting nada. Nothing. What do you need? Nothing. I don't need a thing. How do you get there? You got to go through some stuff. You've got to have faith tried. And it works something. It works some patience But you know you have the victory. You know it. Faith is the substance of something hoped for. Now, I thought it was interesting. That word faith, the trying of your faith. See, and we all look at that and say, well, that's the word pistis. And that word just means, I'll read it here to you, it means a conviction or a confidence. But let me just share this. It says here, fidelity. Also, it means fidelity, faithfulness. The character of one who can be relied on. So the trying of your fidelity. Fidelity for what? Fidelity to God. Fidelity to His Word. You believe God, you're believing His faithfulness. So His Word doesn't need to be tried. It's already been tried. Who's being tried? We are. He's testing our faith, our faithfulness, our conviction. Our confidence is being tested to see, as they say, put up or shut up. In other words, let's just see what you're made of. See, and that's the area. See, when you get to the place that 1 week goes by, 2 weeks goes by, 10 years go by, 15 years go by, and you're still faithful. You're still patiently enduring. You're still committed. You know, and today, when things don't happen your way, I'll give you an example. Because Pastor Sarah's here, she can confirm to this. She can just nod her head if I'm saying so. But a lot of people walked through these doors saying, I'm called. I'm anointed. Ordain me. Put me up in the pulpit and preach. Am I saying, Pastor Sarah, the truth? Yeah, because it's so. But a lot, most, did not want to do what? Serve. They didn't want to go sweep or run sound or show up. Or work in an area. It's like, I'm called. Oh, okay, good. Why don't you serve a little bit and let me see how faithful you are. See? And that grace that's upon your life, that anointing needs to be developed. Where? Under someone. You don't get to be a general without coming up the what? The ranks. And having your backside kicked a little bit. Am I talking the truth? I got a few army people in here. They know I'm talking the truth. See, when you're given some instructions you don't like, you say, click your teeth and I'm called. Don't judge me. Oh, okay. So what happens is you never realize the blessings of God in your life. If you think I'm joking, see, I'm using some natural things here, right? Let me get to the end of, I have a scripture I was going to share at the end here, Proverbs 28:20. See, what is, some of you who are Bible students, what does Proverbs 28:20 say? I'll read it to you. It says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. A faithful person will abound with blessings. Let me read it in the New Living. It says, the trustworthy will get a rich reward. This is the Voice. A reliable person will not escape blessings. Oh, yeah. A reliable person, a trustworthy person, a faithful person will abound in blessings. But you need to be developed. And where God is bringing this ministry, He's going to be looking for who? Faithful, trustworthy people whose faith and faithfulness has been what? Tried. And developed. Because I can tell you what God is going to do and begin to expand and is expanding the ministry in different areas. He's not sticking novices in places where there's a, where there's an impact, where it's critical. He won't do it. If you were a business owner, you wouldn't stick a novice in a key position, would you? No, you wouldn't. People have got to be developed and tried. Just like gold has to be put under heat. Right? I know it's not comfortable because our flesh, I'm with you. Somebody says, W-A-I-T. Ugh. That's like your flesh goes, excuse me, I want it now. And most of us, if we can do anything about it, if you got money, you go, don't need to wait, I'm buying it. I don't have to wait. I just get it. See, but the society that we live in today, and you know this is true, find me reliable, faithful people on the job. Find me people that will stick to it under someone and serve someone faithfully. Man, I came out of corporate America. I mean, when you went from one job to the next, the headhunters were calling you. Hey, I got a new job for you. You just started. The sports industry, there's no allegiance. It's all about me. And so we've been indoctrinated with that thinking. We got to change our thinking. It's not about me. It's about Him. And it's about His people that we've been called to serve and to reach. So, anyways. So it talks about the trying of our faith. And you could look at that in another way. I look at it and saying the trying of your fidelity to God, the trying of your faithfulness to what you say you believe, your convictions. Isn't that true? That's what it is. And so, let me just read this here. We read this. You can turn here, Hebrews 10:23. You're familiar with this scripture verse. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith, what? Without what? Wavering. Without wavering. For He is faithful that promised. When you look that word up, and the reason it kind of stuck out to me was that when you look up the word waver, it means to what? To move back and forth. It means in an unsteady way to hesitate. So let me ask this question. When a person is wavering, they're unsteady. They're vacillating. They're not faithful. They're not committed. I mean, you could say, man, I'm just telling you the truth. Think about folks that when you say we're going to do something, they hesitate. They're unsteady. Oh, I got to go. I ain't staying here. Wavering, not steady, not committed. I notice this may pinch, but I'll tell you, the more you hear it, the more you meditate on it and think about it, you'll know it's so. It's the truth. You don't have to turn here. You can read, you'll write it down. It says, this is 1 Corinthians 15:58, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." What are we supposed to be? Steadfast, unmovable, not wavering. Steadfast, faithful, committed, constant. Hallelujah. Now, let me ask a question. Does your faith need to be tried? Yeah, I know we don't like it, but we need to have our faith tried. Think about it. How would you know you have it unless it was not tried? You have to be tested. You have to be tried to know that you've got something. Has to be. So what is the response when your faith is pressured? What is the response when your faith is tested? Patience. Endurance. Persistence. That's the response when your faith is tested, or your faithfulness is tested. You know, I think about through life situations in jobs, situations in ministry, where, and I know you know this, that people get to the place where they're pressured. They feel they have to make a change. But how many have been in situations where they know of, or maybe you were the one, considering someone for promotion or for considering someone for a raise, and they were itchy and just said, "I'm out of here," and never knew what they missed? Have any of you been in situations like that? Maybe you were that person. I don't know. But there are situations where if we just stay steady, that's why it says the faithful person abounds in blessings. You just stay steady and faithful to what God has called you to do, and you'll be blessed. You won't escape blessings, His blessings. Now, turn over to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Everybody awake today? All right. Hebrews chapter 6. When you get there, say amen. Let me read this. This is, I'm going to just, before I read Hebrews 6, let me read this in the Living Bible. This is James chapter 1 and 2, where we were, but I want to read this particular translation. It says, "Dear brothers, is your life full of difficulties and temptations? Then be happy. For when the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow. So let it grow and don't try to squirm out of your problems. For when your patience is finally in full bloom, then you will be ready for anything, strong in character, full and complete." A lot of times we want to squirm out of things. And when we get to that place, we need to just stop and put a lid on it, as they say. Because something, and I know for me, how many can attest to this? Some of the toughest pressures that I've walked through, it's like, ah. And within a week or two, breakthrough. And the devil's trying to get you to boogie out of here and jump and move. And just about the time when you're ready to move, you just hold steady, breakthrough. How many have walked through that? Every one of us have. Everyone. Hold steady. You think about it. Why is the devil bugging you so hard? Think about it. When the pressure's on, you must be close, real close. It's not God. Your mind is tilting. You're like, forget this. I'm out of here. Hold steady. Because breakthrough's right on your edge, right there. Breakthrough's right there. Breakthrough. Hebrews 6:12, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. This is the Message translation. Don't drag your feet. Be like those who stay the course with committed faith and then get everything promised to them. Stay the course. Don't drag your feet. Just stay steady. Stay committed to what God has called you to do. This is the Amplified. In order that you may not grow disinterested and become spiritual sluggards, but imitators behaving as do those who through faith, by leaning their entire personality on God and Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom, and goodness, and by practice, see, that's what you're going to have to do, practice it. Practice of patience, patient endurance, and waiting are now inheriting the promises. So we need to wait and hold steady. I mentioned this, I think it was on Wednesday. Oh no, I didn't mention this. Little patience equals little faith. Little patience equals little faith. You know how the Bible talks about exceedingly growing faith? It talks about faith that's being developed and growing. So is your patience. Because if your faith is growing, it's being developed, it's being tried, what else is being? Your patience. So great faith. You know someone with great faith, there's great patience. There's great endurance. There's great consistency. Great faithfulness. Little faith, little patience. Time tries our trust. Time, the elapse of time, is going to try your trust. Time will try your trust. And you could say it this way. Time will try your faithfulness and your commitment. Isn't that the truth? It sure does. We've all walked through it. Time will try your faithfulness. Faithfulness to God, faithfulness to anything that you've been called to do, time will try it. Because tests will come, and when you're walking through a test, we walk through Abraham. Abraham, God appeared to him, what did he say? And when he's 75, all these things are going to happen to you. Your seed is going to be like the stars of the sand, or the stars in the sky. And so the further he went in time, it sure didn't look like anything was happening, did it? So the further and older he got, it looked like he was getting further away from what God said, didn't it? So even after he came through all of that, and his son was born, at 100 years of age, the test wasn't over, was it? He said, oh, now offer up your son. Another level. He's the father of faith. There's great faith. There was a great test. So anyone who says, I got great faith, let me see your faithfulness to God. Let me see your commitment. if it's so. So one of the things let's turn over to 1 Peter. We're just going to share these few scriptures before we dismiss. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm sorry, 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's go there first. 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 8. through 10. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing, that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." After a while. After you've gone through something. The Amplified says, "Be well balanced." See, I like this. "Be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind. Be vigilant and cautious at all times, for that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion, roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour." I like this. "Withstand him. Be firm in your faith." Be firm in it. In your faith. "Against his onset, rooted, established, strong, immovable, determined." I like that. You're immovable, determined. In what? Your faith. And you're determined and immovable in your faithfulness to that call and to God and to His Word. Come what may, I'm not changing. Come what may, I'm not moving. God called me to do this. This is what I'm doing. That's it. Not moving. You know, when I was, I remember when I first came here, must have been about 10, 12 years after I came here, this person called up out of the clear blue and said, "You still going to that church?" I said, "Yeah, God called me here." See, that's people's mindset. You still there. No sense of loyalty, steadfastness, endurance, commitment to who? God. How can you be put over much if you can't be faithful to Him in a little bit? Right. You won't. You won't. So this continues, and it says here, "Be firm in your faith against his onset, rooted, established, strong, immovable, determined, knowing that the same identical sufferings are appointed to your brotherhood, the whole body of Christians throughout the world." Now, verse 10, it says, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who imparts all blessing and favor, who has called you to his own eternal glory, in Christ Jesus," this is what I like, will himself complete and make you what you ought to be. Woo! Yes, sir. Established, grounded you, securely strengthen and settle you. He's going to do it. He will personally do it. So you just stay faithful to Him. Walk through the process. Be faithful. And this says, He will Himself complete and make you what you ought to be. Man, you don't have to try to be something. He's going to make you what you ought to be. You just need to be what? Faithful, steady, immovable. Just be steady and faithful to the call of God. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. So let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. See, we don't have to do it. We don't have to do it. First Peter chapter 1, and let's look at verse 7. How many know faith is precious? That's what the Bible says. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto what? Praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, who having not seen ye love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, being faithful, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Hallelujah. This word precious, when you look this up, this word precious in the Greek, it says something of great price, something held in honor, esteemed, especially dear, very costly. Your faith tried is precious and very costly. It has value to God. See, we don't like going through stuff, but I'll tell you the outcome is precious and highly valuable to God. So that's why we can rejoice. We can say, yes, I'll go through it. Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. He endured it. Let me read this. These are some other translations. It says, even gold is tested for genuineness by fire. So your faith and faithfulness will be tested for its genuineness by tests and trials. Its genuineness will be tested. That's what happened to Moses. That's what happened to Abraham. They were all tested of their genuineness, their faithfulness to God. The purpose, this is still in the complete Jewish Bible, the purpose of these trials is so that your trust, genuineness, which is far more valuable than perishable gold, will be judged worthy of praise, glory, and honor at the revealing of Yeshua the Messiah. He's going to praise your faithfulness. He's going to praise it. This is the new living. These trials are only to test your faith, to show that it is strong and pure. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. And your faith is far more precious to God than mere gold. So if your faith remains strong after being tried by fiery trials, it will bring you, much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Let me read the Amplified. So that the genuineness of your faith may be tested, your faith, which is infinitely more precious than perishable gold, which is tested and purified by fire, the proving of your faith is intended to redound to your praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, is revealed. This is the message. Pure gold in the fire comes out of it if proved pure. Pure gold put in the fire comes out of it proved pure. Genuine faith put through this suffering comes out proved genuine. When Jesus wraps this all up, it's your faith, not your gold, that God will have on display as evidence of His victory. He's going to put your tried, genuine faith on display as proof of His victory. Hallelujah. Let me read this. We're talking about, you can just jot this scripture down, Luke 18:8. It says, in the tail end of this verse, it says, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Shall he find faith on the earth? This is the Son of Man asking this question. So obviously, it's not a common thing, is it? Let me ask this question. When something is precious and of high value, think about this in the natural. When there's a lot of something, it's usually cheap. When something is precious, it has a higher value because there's not a lot of it, is there? You go and get a good diamond, there's a lot of diamonds. You can look at it and go, hey, that's a nice diamond. And then an expert will look at it under and say, there's a flaw in there. But for you, you don't see the flaw. There's a lot of diamonds, but the pure, genuine diamond costs a lot of money. Am I saying the truth? So something that's genuine, it's all about supply and demand, isn't it? When there's a lot of supply, it's cheap. But genuine, tried faith and faithfulness is not as common. It's not as common. And it is of high value to God. So we ought to rejoice and walk through trials and tribulations knowing that the trial of my faith is going to come out tested, pure, genuine, of high value to God. See, I'll be honest. I don't like walking through stuff. I know you don't. We all, your flesh don't like it. It don't like it. Just be honest. I don't like it. But guess what? There's a value to it. We don't like it. So how do we get gold? Gold, think about it, when gold and they take all of the earth out of the ground, they take all of that material out of the ground, they put it under heat, and what happens? Some stuff is just burnt up, or it's separated, but the pure gold comes out from the heat, high heat. And so there's a process, there's a passage of time. Strong faith endures. Weak faith quits and gives up. Just quits and gives up. Let's go over here. Let's look at this real quick. Got a few more minutes. Go to Isaiah, because we can look these things up yourself. Isaiah 26. Isaiah 28, 16. Isaiah 28, 16. You're familiar with this scripture? Let me read it in the King James. Isaiah 28, 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Now, what's the tail end of that verse? He that believeth shall not make haste. Not be in a hurry. To me, that means being steady, being consistent, being constant. The Good News Translation says, this now is what the Sovereign Lord says, I am placing in Zion a foundation that is firm and strong. In it I am putting a solid cornerstone on which are written the words, faith that is firm is also patient. That's the Good News Translation. Faith that is firm is also patient. Steady. You can look these up. I'm going to just close here because this will go in another direction. But you can look these up at your own. People who made haste missed out, didn't they? Saul was told to wait 7 days by Samuel. And when he didn't show up and the Philistines started to assemble, he decided he was going to have a burnt offering. He wasn't anointed. He wasn't called to do that. He wasn't a prophet. He wasn't in that office. And he decided he was going to have a burnt offering. Got in trouble. Moses was told, speak to the rock. And got upset at them folks he was overseeing and did what? He hit the rock and didn't go into the promised land because he disobeyed. See? So there's some accounts that we have that if you make haste, there's a price. There's a price. And so now let's just close. Let's look at this scripture here. Hebrews 3:14. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 14. Hebrews 3, verse 14. King James, it says, for we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. This is a New Living Translation. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. We need to be faithful to the end, just as we were in the beginning. Faithful, steady. The Living Bible says, if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as we did when we first became Christians, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. So this faith that we have needs to be tested. It needs to be tried like gold. And this faith, when tested, it comes out if we endure, if we're patient, we don't make haste. It's of great price and value to God. I'll tell you, that's what I'm looking for. How about you? I'm looking for something that's valuable to God. But it needs to be tested. It needs to go through some things. No, it's not comfortable. But if you keep your eye on Him, keep your eye on the promise, keep your eye on Him, and stay steady, you'll get there. Don't give up. Don't throw the towel in. Don't quit. Just keep steady. Keep steady. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Father, we thank You for this time that we had together. Thank You for reminding us, Father, that we need to be steady. We need to be sure. We need to be patient in the call and the directions that You've given us. And we give You glory for it. We ask You, Father, for the power of the Holy Ghost to keep us steady. And we give You praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just before we dismiss, we just take this opportunity to just extend to those that are here. If you don't, or if you've never made a profession of faith, I'll just say it that way, a confession or a profession of faith in Jesus, then you may want to consider that if you believe that He is the Savior. He is God's Son. And He is God sent to this earth to die for the sins of mankind, to reconcile mankind to God.